Extend Christian greetings to each one gathered here this morning. Ponder what to share about my worship experience thus far in the service. I don't want to detract from the burden I have for the message here this morning, but as I thought, pondered what has been going through my mind in the message, I can't help but think about the songs that were sung. Devotions as well. I appreciated it, that in the Sunday school as well. But as I was studying for this message this morning, there was three words that kept coming to me. And I'm going to use that for my title. I don't feel like I'm going to exhaust these three words by any means. Next Sunday, one of the other brothers could pick up one of these words and preach on it, and there would be so much to share about it. We're going to pick up one of the apostles again. Two of the apostles this morning, and look at their lives. But as I was studying their lives and studying who they were, these three words kept coming to me, and that is faith, trust, and truth. So I just titled the message that, faith, trust, and truth. And that's, it's maybe not going to be a total understanding of what the message is going to entail, but I want you to think of those three words as we go through this message. Now, what stood out to me in the songs this morning? I walk in and we're singing, "Great is thy faithfulness." We're talking about faith. Great is thy faithfulness. Whose faithfulness? Well, God. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Trust. How can you trust God? He's forever faithful. Then we sang that song, "Father, in thy mysterious presence." Lord, we have wandered forth through doubt and sorrow. It's the opposite of trust. Lord, fain would our souls feel all thy kindling love. We want that experience. Think about that. Faith in God, the last song we sang here. Our God, He is alive. There is beyond the azure blue a God. Faith in Him. Less than a week, I was at two funerals. Last Sunday evening, we were not here. We were down at Great Aunt's funeral, viewing actually on Sunday evening. Lived to be an older lady. Past the 70 years, God took her home. Yesterday, we got to go to a memorial service for, used to be a neighbor of ours as we lived down in Phillips Creek. They were our neighbors there. A lady that was, I believe, turning 54 Monday. School teacher at the local school there. Always had a smile on her face. And they are partially church-going people. I believe she was more than what he was. And we were there. We went through the line there and met him. And he's grasping to trust God in his leading. It was a matter of Wednesday she was feeling a little bit off, somewhere around that time. Went to the doctor. The doctor diagnosed, supposedly, sent her back home. And something wasn't right. Came around to Sunday. Her husband took her back in. It's getting late at night. He decided to go home and get some rest. And she was going to get some rest at the hospital. Up at Strong's, I believe. He got home, I believe, around somewhere in the evening there, late evening, 11:30, maybe 12 o'clock. It wasn't real long. 1 o'clock, he got the phone call. She passed away. Things seemed stable when he left the hospital. He's struggling to grasp how he can trust God. Faith is the substance of things looked for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. So we know what faith is. It's something that happens in our lives. It's something that we can't see, but we can see its works in our lives. We know what trust is. I don't know how to explain this a little bit. I pondered a few options. I'm going to try one here, and if it flops, bear with me. But you take somebody that you know of, and you picture them in your mind, who it is, that you would just tell them about everything in your life. Secrets. Children know what secrets are. Okay? But you trusted to tell them that deep secrets of your life. But you don't want anybody else to know it. That's trust. Now, it can be broken because I can go talk to somebody. If somebody trusts me, I can go whisper it to somebody else and then I break trust. Come to the last word, truth. Now, I want you to just think about this. Truth never changes. God's word has always been the same. It will always be the same, no matter whatever comes. It's there. Never changes. No matter what you say about it, no matter whether you believe it, truth is still truth. All right. Maybe a little bunny trail there. Let's sing our apostle song, okay? There were 12 disciples Jesus called to help him. Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, his brother John, Philip, Thomas, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, Thaddeus, Judas, and Bartholomew. Jesus calls us to, Jesus calls us to, we are his disciple, I am one in you. Jesus calls us to, Jesus calls us to, we are his disciple, we his work must do. Question for you. The two apostles I'm going to speak about this morning. These two, when they first met Jesus, were when they came in contact with Jesus and they realized he's the Messiah and who he was, they immediately went and told someone else. Who is it? Andrew is one of them. Philip. Thank you for that. Andrew and Philip. We're going to take a look at their lives this morning. Now, I've chosen to bring these two together and to try to combine them in one message. There'd be enough that I could make a message, I believe, out of both of them. But as we study this account, I was inspired. And as I looked at the disciples' lives, you know, this motley group, this group that was anything but polished all the time. But there are oftentimes, as we take these two, they're mentioned together, and the accounts we want to look at, their names are not listed real often. But most of the times they're listed together. And so we're going to take a lot of our thoughts this morning from John, the Gospel of John. And we could turn to many other passages. We're not going to do that. But we're going to look at these brothers' lives, these disciples' lives, and try to pull some truth for us. Faith, trust, and truth. So think about that as we go through this. What it is and how it affected these men's lives. We all have personalities, every one of us. My personality is different than yours. You can find somebody that's maybe close to yours, but oftentimes it's maybe different personalities that draw together. You often say it in marriage that two people of two different personalities are often attracted to each other. When friendships, it can be the same way. I had a good friend growing up that we did a lot together. Two different individuals we were, yes. But we had a lot of fun together because we could work it together. And so let's go into these, as we think of these two brethren here, Andrew and Philip, they were different. They were different. Their personalities were different. It appears Andrew often hungered and searched for truth. And so you can go in your Bibles to John chapter 1, and we're going to take our first look at these two brethren. This account in John chapter 1, just an interesting thing that for Bible study and in your mind to think about, is this account in John chapter 1 happened about a little over a year before the account in the other Gospels of when, and take maybe like Luke, for example. Luke chapter 4, the end of that, it will talk how Jesus was there preaching in Galilee. And he was there preaching. And I believe that's when this happened, this account in John chapter 1. It happened in Luke chapter 4. But then you come into Luke chapter 5, and we have that account of when Jesus was teaching the multitude, and there was these... The crowd was pressing him, so he got into Simon's boat, and they went out, and he taught the people out of the ship. There's a little over a year happening in those times there. And in that time frame, at Luke chapter 4 is when we find here in John chapter 1. And if somebody can find some differing opinion on that or has a differing opinion, let me know. I like to study a little bit in the annals of the world and some of that, and that's where I come up with some of that. And so as we come into John chapter 1, it appears Andrew often hungered and searched for truth. And so we're going to take the time to read verses 19 on down, maybe to the end of the chapter. But there's a lot of reading here. And think with me, as I don't know if Andrew was part of this. These days here that the talk starts out with in verse 19, it doesn't say that, and I kind of question whether it is, and I question whether to share it. But Andrew was one that is searching for truth, and he wants truth, and he's not the only one. Verse 19 of John chapter 1. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests. This is John the Baptist, to highlight that. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou? Who art thou? John the Baptist?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am the Christ." Excuse me, let me read that again. "And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, John the Baptist replied, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who cometh after me, is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Verse 29, And next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Okay, we have 2 days starting in here. The next day, after that first encounter there. Taketh away the sin of the world. Verse 30. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And so we're coming to the next day. I don't know if Andrew was there and heard all this discussion, but Andrew is searching for truth. He wants to know who's of a truth. He's looking for that promised Messiah. Verse 35, now we're going to go into that next day. And we know Andrew was here because of what it shares as we go into this. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto him, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it is about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. There you have his genealogy as well. Andrew, brother of Simon Peter, and he was an older brother of Simon Peter. What happened then? Verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon. Simon, that man that had such a, was such a, he was the first apostle. He's the one that was the closest. He was a leader. It was Andrew's brother. And Andrew comes and he says, Simon, brother Simon, saith unto him in verse 41, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus healed him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is being interpreted a stone. Cease reading there for a little bit. Think about me with me for a while. There's differences between brothers. There is. But I don't think I can read this in the way that it probably was. As you think of Peter, bold Peter, and I think Andrew probably had some of Peter in him. And his ways related to it. He's so excited, he can hardly wait to tell his brother that this is the Messiah. I found him. I've been searching for this man. I've been searching for truth and where he is. He's looking for truth. Who is the Messiah? Who is the Savior? Who is the Redeemer? He found him. He found him. He was a true seeker. Today, for us to be true seekers, we must too be looking for truth. Searching for truth, following truth ourselves when we find it, desiring to know truth and then to share truth with those about us. Grow more and more with truth. Andrew was a part of the four that were close. And he just wanted to grow more and more. Maybe I'll just go to there. Mark chapter 13. This is one other account I'm going to pull in here in this point, because it gives us a little glimpse into Andrew's life. This is not just Andrew asking this question, but in verse 3. Let's start at verse 1. They're asking questions about the temple. And they're saying, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, saying, Tell us what these things be and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled. I just bring that in because you see the desire in Andrew. He knows Jesus. He's had this experience of who the Messiah is. And he's part of these four that are looking for answers. When shall these things be? Andrew didn't stop looking for truth. He didn't stop digging for who the Messiah is and what he meant and what was coming in the future. Going back to John chapter 1. Well, as Andrew was Simon's older brother, he knew Andrew. Simon knew Andrew. I believe Simon, as he looked at his older brother, it was Andrew's word wasn't something to be doubted. He knew Andrew's personality. He knew that Andrew, when he applied himself to know truth and to find truth, he dug until he found it. Why else was Andrew following John the Baptist? He was digging for truth. And when Andrew said he found the Messiah, he found the Messiah. Simon's coming to look. It's not, Andrew, you're off on the, you're way off. There's no way. No, he knew. It's worth going and checking out. Here is his older brother claiming he found the promised Messiah because he knew he was searching for him. I want you to think about Andrew as an older brother for Simon. And maybe this is some speculation, but think about it in our own lives today. Our influence on our siblings, our influence on those that follow us. I believe Andrew had an influence on Simon. Here was Andrew, his older brother, digging for truth, wanting to live as God would have him to. And it affected Simon Peter in his life, I believe so. Peter was one that could step out boldly and he was impulsive. He had truth. He had an upbringing that he could look at his older brother and say it's truth. Well, again, I don't want to read into it. It's maybe not there. But think about them as brothers sharing together. There was a connection between them. And when Andrew found the Messiah, and he was searching for the promise and the truth of it, Simon Peter came to find him. So we think about that. Truth will affect those about us today. And so I want us to think about, who are we affecting today? Let's go look at Philip. Verse 43 is where we quit reading. John chapter 1, verse 43. Then the day following, the next day after this, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. And we could go on reading there. We'll pick that up as we come to Nathanael sometime. There's a lot we can learn about Philip in these verses here. Philip was a very, very different person than Peter, Andrew, James, and John. He was a really different personality. One of my study that I was in, and as I was into it, said this about him. Philip was dull, cautious, practical, and they had some other words in there that were too big for me to understand, but I got the gist of it. He thought everything through. He was a deep thinker. He had to process this all. He had to think about it all. Philip Philip struggled with trust in the unknown. Everything had to pencil out in Philip's mind. Think with me as we read these verses. Deep thinker? Yes. Verse 45. We have found him as he's coming to Nathanael. We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Maybe that don't strike you. But as I read that and ponder on that, it does me. Here is a man, he's a deep thinker. He has placed, he responded totally different than what Andrew did to Peter or to Simon. He didn't just say, we found the Messiah. He goes into detail. He has it all, his I's dotted and T's crossed. You see that? We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write. You go clear back to Moses. Philip has thought of it. Okay? Jesus of Nazareth, the promise that he's going to come from Nazareth, the son of Joseph. He's placed it all in mind. He has it all in order. He has thought it all out. This is the Messiah. He's a different man than what some of the other apostles we've studied into. But he seems to wrestle as he goes through life with trust in the unknown, with trust and faith in God. He can struggle with that. Verse 45, as we come into it, as Philip findeth Nathanael, I think we can maybe read a little bit into that. He quietly, I believe, went and found Nathanael. He wasn't going to get all hyped up about this, but Nathanael, I found the Messiah. Of whom Moses and the law of the prophets did write. This is who it is. Calmly shares it. I've figured it all out. Well, you can see some more of him as we go into the next story about these men. Maybe a little highlight as we think about Philip. He is one of them that, as Jesus, a lot of times in the scripture or in the disciples, Jesus was called them. They've been other, maybe somebody else touched in with their lives, or there's been some contact. But in this verse here, in verse 43, it says, Jesus went and found Philip. I don't know the connection. I don't know whether it's just Jesus' all-knowing power that he knew who Philip was, or if there's some connection back further. But Jesus went and found Philip. Let's go into the next story. You can turn your Bibles to John chapter 6. We didn't go to the where these... A year later in Luke chapter 5, where they were called to, a year later, to come and follow Jesus. And that's when they forsook all and followed Jesus. We didn't go into that. But they were called. I mean, Philip is not included in that, but Andrew is, as Jesus was there. He called those fishermen to come follow him and be his disciples. But in John chapter 6, we have these disciples following Jesus. And we have this a connection here where Philip and Andrew have a connection with our Lord. And we can get another glimpse into their lives and who they were. Let's read John chapter 6, 1 through 13. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Verse 43 of John chapter 1. We see where Jesus had called Philip in person. And as he was there, he was a different person. He was struggling with the trust of unknown. He was dull, cautious, practical, and deep thinking. I'm sorry, I jumped back in my notes. I didn't think something sounded right. Let me go into that again and after we read this in John chapter 6. As we think of this account here, Philip is doing calculations as they come to this great multitude of people, this great multitude that is followed. And Jesus makes that, he turns and singles out Philip, the one that maybe struggles with trust. And he asked Philip this question, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Philip, what are we going to do about this? And I believe as Philip was this man that was this deep thinker, he was special to Jesus in that aspect of his life. But Jesus wanted Philip to think about it. You can't always reason everything out in dollars and cents. But Philip goes into it. Philip starts doing the calculation and answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient. We buy 200 penny worth of bread, it's not going to reach around yet. That every one of them can take a little bit. Not full. Not 5 baskets left over. Take a little bit. He was doing the calculations, but he overlooked something. What did he overlook? Our minds today sometimes cannot grasp the power of God and the miracles he can do. And that's what Philip overlooked. The power of God and the miracles that Jesus can do. His mind was moved on the level, his thinking pattern that Philip had, the gift, the talent that was given to him of level, common, everyday thinking. As he calculated it out, he said, this is what... It's not going to reach around even if we get this much. But he overlooked something. But Andrew didn't. Andrew, as he looked at the truth of who he was with, he found the boy and brought him to Jesus. If you see Andrew in the scriptures, every time that he's mentioned that he's helping Jesus or with Jesus in these accounts that we're going to look at, he is bringing someone to Jesus. In this aspect, Jesus has this great multitude. And Peter or Andrew in his truth and in his knowledge and his of who Jesus is. There's this little lad here. 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes. And he understands that what are they among so many? I kind of get in this picture that he's with Philip, that Jesus, you're going to have to do something with it if it's going to reach around, because 200 penny worth is not going to reach around. For sure not these 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. But Andrew was always looking for someone to bring to Jesus. But the truth was, he knew he followed a great leader. That Jesus. And he was willing to put it into practice. And to bring this little lad to Jesus. And with Jesus blessing it, there was plenty and extra. Jesus, in this account, wanted Philip to start to ponder who God was, and to think and to trust Him, to trust God more. What are we doing today? How strong is our faith in God? How strong is our trust in God? How grounded are we in the truth? Let's go to the next one. John chapter 12. We have this next account of when these two disciples were with Jesus. They were with Him many more times, but as they were there helping Jesus, John chapter 12, verse 20. They're at this feast in Galilee. Things were running high. Jesus is there. The disciples are there. In verse 20, John chapter 12, verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at this feast. Some Greeks there. The same came therefore to Philip, which was a Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Now let's stop there and think about this. Why did they come to Philip? Well, I don't know if I can explain that all. There's a lot of thought that goes into it, that Philip and his name and what it was what had a connection with these people from Galilee. Or these Greeks, I'm sorry, had a connection with these Greeks. Maybe that's what it was. But they cometh to Philip, the man that's struggling to trust. Man that's struggling, a practical thinker. And he's trying to weigh this all out in his mind. Here are these Greeks. What are we going to do with them? Peter's the leader, right? He's the leader of the apostles. See, if you want to go up the chain, you go to... He should have answered to Peter, right? No, where did he run to? He didn't run to Peter. Verse 22, "And Philip cometh and telleth Andrew," and then again, "Andrew and Philip tell Jesus." Remember when I was talking about Peter, and I can't hardly leave him out of a message like this. But Peter was impulsive. He was black and white. His older brother Andrew had something to him. As he thought about the truth and the promises that were there, Philip ran to Andrew. There was trust. He knew Andrew. He knew who he was, and he knew Andrew as he grasped the promises and what they meant. It's like he's saying, "Andrew, I need help. I don't know what to do with these Greeks over here that want to see Jesus." Andrew was the one for advice. He was the one that knew truth. He was the one that knew where to take it to, because he had studied into the truth. Philip, don't brush him off. Don't brush these Greeks off. We take him to Jesus. And that's what they did in verse 22. Andrew and Philip, they went together and they told Jesus. And Jesus said, "My hour's not come yet, that the Son of Man should be glorified." It's not there yet. And he goes on to a big presentation there. It would be good for us to look at, but we're not going to go there. But I want to think about it. Philip didn't run to Peter. He ran to Andrew. There was trust there in Andrew. There was, because Andrew was built on truth and in faith in who Jesus was. Can brethren and sisters about you today get the same feeling from you? Is your life built on truth? I'm speaking for myself. Do you know what the scripture says? That's truth. And I know we can go to Scripture. Well, the Spirit will give you what you need in that hour. But let's not take it out of context. God calls us to study truth and God calls us to dig into it. That's our spiritual nourishment. That's where we need to go. Can you be an Andrew that knows truth? When the world has problems, when the world has questions, can you know truth? The world is looking for someone that can help. When they're in these times, do you know where to take them to? Let's go to the last verse I want to look at from John chapter 14. Remember what we said about Philip? He struggled with trust. He wanted something tangible. He wanted something he could see, feel. He struggled with faith. Maybe we could say it that way. Verse 8 is what we want. But let's read. Start at verse 1. They're very good verses for us. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? We aren't studying into Thomas, but Thomas in his doubt. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath sent me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am the Father, and that the Father in me, the works that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. We're going to cease reading there. We don't have Andrew in this account, but we have Philip. Philip, as he was struggling to trust, he wanted something that was tangible. He wanted something he could know. We aren't too much different sometimes. Sometimes our faith can wax weak. Mine can. Trust it doesn't happen to you, but we're probably all human. When we go through trials, when we go through tests, God, what do you... And then we have to realize it's faith in God and His leading in our lives. We want to know what the outcome is. We don't like to take the time to go day to day. What do we say in our Sunday school? Wait on the Lord. Wait can take long. It can be hard to do sometimes. Well, Philip was one of those that struggled with trust. His faith and trust he struggled with. But he was very much of a strong, steady pillar in the disciples as well. For you Bible readers, as you study into the life of Philip, let's not get mistaken. When we Google, I say Google, when we type into our search in our phones for Philip, or if you pull out the concordance, I don't use that anymore, hardly. It pretty much sits on my shelf because I like my Bible app for searching it. But as I was studying again, I went and pulled up Philip. And so my studies took me into lots of different ways. But there's four Philips in Scripture. Okay. Maybe you're thinking that we could go to the life of Philip in Acts and look at his great works. That's a different Philip. It's not the one we studied about that was an apostle today. That was one of those that were called to help in the church. But I'd like to look at Philip and his life at the end. Apostle Philip, I took this from the Martyr's Mirror. This pious and godly apostle remained with the Lord even to his suffering. And after the dispersion, when the disciples dispersed, when Christ had arisen, he abode with his brethren until they, according to the promise of God, received the Holy Ghost after his ascension. After the distribution of the countries, he taught several years in Scythia, where he planted many churches. And since Syria and the upper part of Asia fell to his particular share, he laid the foundations of faith in many of these cities. Finally, he came to Perga and wrought several signs at Hierapolis. Excuse these big words, I'm not good at pronouncing big words. Hierapolis. They're the Ebionites, who not only denied the divinity of Christ, but also worshipped idols, continued obstinately to their blasphemous doctrines and idolatry, and did not listen to this pious apostle of Christ, but apprehended him, and having made his head fast to a pillar, stoned him, whereupon death ensued, and he thus fell asleep in the Lord. His body was buried in the aforementioned city, Hierapolis. He struggled with trust. He struggled with faith. But when Jesus got a hold of his life, not everything had to be able to be penciled out in man's thinking. God was working. He looked at what God did in his life and the miracles that were there. And when he was called to go out, he did it. The Apostle Peter, again taken from the Martyr's Mirror. Finally, when he had finished his course according to the will of the eternal God, Agaius, the governor of Phoenicia, in the name of Roman Senate, caused him to be crucified in the city of Patras in Achaia. Concerning the cause and manner of his death, the following is contained in Apothegm. Some for art, it has a page there of it. At Pamphrius, a city in Achaia, he converted because many others, Maxilia, the wife of Agaius, the governor, to the Christian faith. In other words, he converted this governor's wife to the Christian faith. This so enraged the governor against Andrew that he threatened him with death of the cross. But this apostle Andrew said to the governor, "Had I feared the death of the cross, I should not have preached the majesty and gloriousness of the cross of Christ." We're afraid of death. Truth stands. The enemies of the truth, having apprehended and sentenced to death the apostle Andrew, he went joyfully to the place where he was to be crucified. And having come in near to the cross, he said, "Oh, beloved cross, I have greatly longed for thee. I rejoice to see thee erected here. I come to thee with a peaceful conscience and with cheerfulness. I desiring that I, who am an apostle of him who hung on the cross, may also be crucified." The apostle said further, "The nearer I come to the cross, the nearer I come to God. The further I am from the cross, the further I remain from God." The holy apostle hung 3 days on the cross. He was not silent, however, but as long as he could move his tongue, he instructed the people that stood by the cross in the way of truth, saying, among other things, "I thank my Lord Jesus Christ that he, having used me for a time as an ambassador, now permits me to have this body, that I, through a good confession, may attain eternal, everlasting grace and mercy. Remain steadfast in the word and doctrine which ye have received, instructing one another that you may dwell with God in eternity and receive the fruit of his promises. The Christians and other pious people besought the governor to give Andrew unto them and take him down from the cross. For it appears he was not nailed to the cross like Jesus was, but he was tied to it. When the apostle learned of this, he cried to God, saying, O Lord Jesus Christ, suffer not that thy servant who hangs here on the tree for thy name's sake be released to dwell among men, but receive me, O Lord, my God, whom I have known, whom I have loved, to whom I cling, to whom I desire to see, and in whom I am what I am. Having spoken these words, the holy apostle committed his spirit into the hands of the Heavenly Father. Again, sometimes we read those accounts, and they seem gruesome. The question that comes to us, we're not faced with that today. Where is my faith? How close am I to truth? Do I trust God? Where are we at? These two brethren, as they were apostles, had a real influence on those that they touched in with. Others were touched and led to them. Their personalities were different, but they both had a desire that others would see Christ and would come to Christ, because that's the first thing they did when they found the Messiah. Do you get the vision? Can I have the vision? Of those that are lost and in need of a Savior. Can we take it to them? May God bless us. Let's kneel for prayer.